1-1 pitch. Encarnacion drives deep to left field. This one is way out of here. Home run, Encarnacion, and a 7-1 Blue Jays lead.
Well, that was kind of swell. Edwin Encarnacion with a little cherry on top. That home run with two out of the seventh inning off of Michael Bowden gave the Blue Jays a 7-1 lead. They would hang on for a 7-3 win over the Boston Red Sox to even the series of the game apiece, set up the rubber match tomorrow afternoon, day game after the night game, Ricky Romero against John Lester. Edwin had a big day, 2-for-3 with a couple of stolen bases to go with that home run, scored twice, drove in a pair. J.P. Arencibia had a big two-run single in the sixth inning with the bases loaded and nobody out to extend the Blue Jays' lead that had just been cut to 3-1 to 5-1, and Colby Rasmus followed with the sacrifice fly on the next pitch. Couple of hits for Yunel Escobar as well. Rough day for Jose Bautista. He goes 0-for-4 and strikes out three times, but he is Jose Bautista. He has been the best hitter in baseball for the last 2 years. And even though he's something like 1-for-16, he's going to be fine. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk on the Honda Post Game Show. Taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. We'll talk Blue Jays to the top of the hour. Let's start off with Alex in Toronto. Hello, Alex.
How are you doing, Mike?
I'm getting by, thank you. What's up?
I know you're sick from your Twitter feed. Anyways, I just wanted to say, first of all, Kyle Dravec pitched pretty well, above expectations today, in my opinion. Like, he was, for the beginning part of the game, he was hitting the strike zone. He's the first starter for the Blue Jays to get a W in the win column this year, so I don't know how many people would have predicted that. And I think one more comment on Colby Rasmus. I think he's actually hitting, like, getting some good wood on the ball recently, and I'm one of the people that believe that he's going to get out of his slump. He's going to have a good year this year.
Yeah, I think he is too. Thank you very much, Alex. Appreciate the call. And you know what? You bring up a good point. Who would have thought that the first trip through the rotation, the Blue Jays would be 3-2, and Kyle Dravec would be the only starter with a win? Judging from the Blue Jay fans that I talked to late last season through the winter who thought he was never going to pitch in the major leagues again, nobody. Dravec was terrific tonight. He took a two-hit shutout into the sixth inning, having not allowed a walk, having only thrown, to that point, 72 pitches. He was great through five, had a rough time in the sixth with a couple of walks and that double by Pedroia. But a very good start, and then great work by Luis Perez and Jason Fraser before Casey Jansen kind of, well, got unlucky with two out, nobody on. He gives up a couple of ground ball singles in the walk, and then Gonzalez barely got a piece of that double. And David Ortiz strikes out on three pitches to end things. John in Toronto. Hello, John.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Go ahead, John.
First of all, I don't think the Escobar trade was, as big as a steal as people think it is. It seems like the shortstop's the real deal that the Braves got.
Who? Alex Gonzalez? Tyler Pastrnicki?
The kid.
The kid who hit the home run tonight?
Yeah.
And, you know, Escobar's not the real deal?
Oh, he is the real deal. It just, when it was made, it seemed like it was, you know, Escobar for a bag of pucks.
Well, I don't know who thought it was Escobar for a bag of pucks, but Tyler Pastrnicki can play. But he's no Yunel Escobar.
The other question is, why wouldn't they bring in Aaron Laffey in the ninth inning as opposed to wasting Casey Jansen?
Well, you're not really wasting Casey Jansen. I mean, that's the beauty of the bullpen that the Blue Jays have. You know, that Casey Jansen is your fifth guy, and you can use him in the ninth inning in a game like that. It wouldn't have been a terrible spot for Laffey, except for the fact that you've got Cody Ross, who's a lefty killer, Jared Saltalamacchi, who's a switch hitter, Nick Punto, who's a switch hitter, who's much better hitting from the right side. So, you know, Laffey, it's not really Laffey's spot. It's Jansen's spot because he's a righty who's very, very good against lefties, so he can handle those switch hitters very nicely.
But the question is, when else are you going to use Aaron Laffey? You're not going to use him when you have a two-run lead or a two-run deficit. You're either going to use him when you have a five-run lead or a five-run deficit.
Against the right group, absolutely. And you know what? If it had been David Ortiz, Kevin Youkilis, and Ryan Sweeney leading off the ninth inning, or even Gonzalez, Ortiz, Youkilis, Sweeney, I think you would have seen Laffey.
Then, like, just out of curiosity, if he's really that bad, then why not bring up a Tristan Magnuson or something like that, a guy that actually, you
Who?
Know, has major league stuff?
If who's really that bad?
Sorry?
If who is really that bad?
If Laffy's really that bad.
See, you're either not hearing me or you're not listening to me. I'm not sure which it is. I explained that it was not a good spot to bring in a left-handed pitcher. But you just see the score. And, you know, obviously we saw how the Red Sox came back and made a game of it. Jansen came in and struck the first two guys out and then got a weak ground ball from Nick Punto that just happened to get through. It's not the right spot to bring in a left-handed pitcher. It's not a matter of Laffy not being good enough to pitch with a six-run lead in the ninth inning. It's a matter of respecting the bats that the Boston Red Sox have and still wanting to match up, especially when you're a team that's, you know, blown a couple of games late already. If the Blue Jays are up by 5 in the ninth tomorrow, we may see Aaron Laffy in that situation. Thank you for the call, John. Phone lines remain open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Ryan, don't ask me how I am because I got to blow my nose.
Am I on the line?
Go ahead.
All right. I kind of wanted to echo what the first caller said. He kind of stole my thunder there. But I don't think Rasmus is in a slump at all. I think he looks fantastic. Every out he's made has been, you know, a couple feet away from being a double or a triple from the looks of things. And he's hitting the ball really hard. He's playing good center field. I think he's looking really good. And I just wanted to, you know, echo what the first caller said. Also, I wanted to ask you, Mike, what you think about Thames versus Snyder. You've probably spoken a lot about this, but not the knock Thames. He did a great job for them last year, but I'm just way more team Snyder. And I was really hoping that with the spring he had that they would have put him in the starting nine. I just wonder what you think versus how it's going to play out over the course of the season and maybe if you have any updates on how he's doing in AAA so far.
I think he's like 4 for his first 9 in AAA. He sat out a couple of games because he sprained a finger diving back into first base. But I believe he's back in now. No, I can't blame you for being on Team Snyder. I can't blame anybody for being on Team Thames either. I mean, the truth of the matter is, we haven't talked about this much since the season started. Thames won the job in the spring. Thames had a better spring than Travis Snyder had. And Snyder was going to have a much better spring than Thames in order to make the team. And Thames hit, and he played good defense. He showed that he could handle the position, and Travis is back in the lineup tonight. For Las Vegas, they're playing Fresno and losing 5-0. Thames has looked really, really bad on a couple of fly balls so far. One tonight and one on opening night. They've both been difficult plays. They've both been over his head, and he's gotten turned around, and he's looked terrible. The rest of the time, he's been fine. He's not hitting. But it's early, and I think that, you know, remember how upset we all got last year when the Blue Jays sent Travis Snyder down and it wasn't even the end of April yet. I think you kind of have to have that kind of leash for Eric Thames unless he's doing awful and Snyder's just destroying things down in Las Vegas. Or unless Thames starts to hurt them defensively. But again, he was fine in spring training. I didn't see anything like this at all through spring training.
Do you think there's going to be a trade at all in terms of the number of outfielders that they have? I mean, there's a chance we could see Ghost before the end of the year as well, right?
Yeah, only if somebody gets hurt or as a September call-up. I think as the year goes on, who knows? We'll see. You're not going to get anything that's going to help you significantly for, like, a Ben Francisco. And I don't know how much value Snyder and Thames have as long as one's in the minor leagues. We'll see. We'll see what they need at the deadline, but there's certainly no rush to make a deal like that. Appreciate the call, Ryan. Thanks. I want to get to as many as we can before the top of the hour. Corey in Toronto, you're next. Corey, Blue Jays pick up their first win at home. Feels nice.
Oh, it does, Mike. Thanks a lot. I'm a huge fan. Love the way you do the show.
Thank you.
I went to the game last night, went to the game tonight, and I'm bringing my son tomorrow. I really love the atmosphere that the fans have this year. It's we sat in the 200 level today, and other than a few drunks nearby, everyone was in a great, great mood, and it was just positivity, and there was an expectation that we could win any game, and that feels great. I just got to say, I'm a big fan of how this team projects itself and how they operate on field. I mean, it starts with Bautista and Laurie. There's They're not cocky, but they are really sure that they are the best players on the field, and I love it.
And you know what? What's true is that they actually do expect to win every game. You know you're not going to win every game, and nobody has. And you know, like I mentioned on Twitter, after they won today, they're now on pace for 96 wins this year, and that's losing every other game they've played. So that's pretty phenomenal that you can, you know, you can lose that often. You can lose 4 out of every 9 games in a season and still win 90 games. And so you know you're not going to win every game. But rare is the team that actually expects to win every game. Last year and in prior years, I think the Blue Jays thought they could win. We're pretty sure they could win. I think this year they expect to win. I don't know that that's going to translate over the course of the regular season, but it's definitely the right attitude to have, and it shows.
Yeah, can I add one thing?
Sure.
I'm just, I'm amazed. I'm only 30 years old, and I've been a Blue Jays fan my entire life, but I've grown up, and most of the time, like, everything's about hockey, and everyone's a Leafs fan, and honestly, I couldn't care less about the Leafs, but it's amazing to see the age of the fans now, because everyone's my age. Everyone's talking about this.
Or younger.
It blows me away. It's fantastic, because you would have thought with, you know, the video game generation, everyone would have left. Everyone, you know, it's, you can't hold their attention span this long, but
I think they did. I think they did leave, and I think they're coming back. And I think people your age and younger, people in their 20s, even in their late teens, are really catching on to this, and it's becoming the cool thing to do now to like baseball among the 20-somethings and 30-somethings, which is wonderful. And you hope that you know, they get into it enough that even if it becomes uncool, having experienced enough of it, they'll love it. Because I really think that if you do get seriously into baseball, you can't help but fall in love with the game.
And the stats and the maneuvers, like why they had Laurie shift over between shortstop and second during one of Adrian Gonzalez's at-bats. Everyone seemed to know in the stands why they were doing it.
That's tremendous. That's great to hear, Corey. I appreciate the call, and hopefully that kind of stuff will lend to a rise in the level of discourse on this program, too, even though maybe people prefer to talk to me on Twitter. When we're on the air, you should call. Like Ross in Ottawa. Ross, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, Mike, I just wanted to echo the sentiment from the last caller. I was really impressed by the Blue Jays tonight. Great game. But I'm just wondering, like, you kind of touched on the last caller. I don't see this team getting to the playoffs, just personally.
There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who should expect them to make the playoffs.
See, in another season, I could definitely see it, but I'm looking at the standings right now, and you got New York.
You're not actually looking at the standings right now.
No, not the standings from this year. I'm looking at, good. Yeah, I don't know. You don't look at the standings. It's really in the
season.
Thank you. No, but you got New York and Boston, the Titans of the American League East. And
yep.
You got Texas and the Angels.
Yep.
And like you were talking about earlier in the game, you got Detroit, who you're thinking could win 100 games because they're playing in a vacuum. Like, who's going to lose? Who's losing in the American League right now?
Well, it's
the Central Division's going to get slaughtered, or what's happening?
Well, that's what's going to happen. I mean, you mentioned those teams, and there are 5 really good teams. There are 7 really awful teams in the American League, too.
I mean, the Blue Jays, where do you, like...
Where do they fit in? They're a heck of a lot closer to the top 5 than they are the bottom 7. They and the Rays are right there on the cusp of playoffs. And like I said, you shouldn't reasonably expect the Blue Jays to make the playoffs. You can hope that the Blue Jays can make the playoffs, and they have a chance to make the playoffs.
Which
and
is a lot more
you know,
than seen in previous seasons. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so it should be an exciting year, Mike.
It's going to be a great year. Thank you, Ross. Appreciate the call. Appreciate all the calls. I want to listen in on the Blue Jays skipper, and we're going to do that as the Blue Jays talk. The Honda postgame show continues. Jays take down the Boston Red Sox 7-3. Relatively drama-free, Kyle Drabek is the first Blue Jays starting pitcher to pick up a win in 2012. This is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays took down the Boston Red Sox. 7-3 is your final score. What did the manager think? Why, what a lovely question. Let's hear from John Farrell.
Tonight, Kyle set the tone right from the start. He pitched out a little bit of a traffic in the second inning, kept things together, but pitched ahead in the count for most of the time, the 5-plus innings he was out there. But it was good to see him continue the progression and the path that he established in spring training. Obviously, Frazier gets a big ground ball double play, and I thought we played very good defense again. You know, the ball that Yunel goes back on a bloop single or a potential bloop single on Ellsbury is a key moment in the game. And a few guys really swung about well. Edwin, Brett, it's good to see Yunel start to get in the mix as well offensively. You know, he didn't rely on trying to get more velocity. He continued to pitch. I think the two-seamer that he's using kept the ball on the ground for the most part. I think tonight was another step and a sign of his maturity as a pitcher. Continue to make pitches rather than just think about reaching back and trying to get extra velocity to try to throw a ball by a guy. Yeah, he's collecting himself. You know, it's not speeding up on him mentally as it has in the past. And like I said, I think it's more of a sign of the continuation of what he worked hard at throughout the offseason and what he established during spring training.
His last start in the big leagues last year was against Boston. It was a pretty tough one. And in particular, he had a pretty tough go with Gonzalez and Ortiz last year. To handle those two guys today, plus perform so well against this team, does that, you think, give him a bit more of a boost?
I would certainly think so. And I'm sure he hasn't forgotten the last start last season here against Boston. I think what's most important is that he's trusting his stuff, particularly his two-seamer, to give him some late life in the strike zone. And when he's been in some difficult situations, he's continued to pitch rather than, like I said, reach back and throw. But, you know, he established the tempo of the game and kept the game in check for the time that he was on the mound.
John, how has Bautista looked to you this year at the plate?
Well, right now he's struggling to find his timing. You know, we've all become accustomed to see Jose just continue to hit balls in the seats. But, you know, there were times last year, and I'm sure the year before, where he goes through some stretches where his timing is off a little bit, and that's kind of where he is right now.
There's John Farrell talking about Jose Bautista and his timing being off. Bautista 0 for 4 today with 3 strikeouts. He was 0 for 4 yesterday. He is 1 for his last 16 since opening day. He does go through stretches like this, and he comes out of them, and the last 2 years, he's been the best hitter in the major leagues, bar none. And hopefully he'll come out of it tomorrow. We will be here bright and early as the Blue Jays play the day game after the night game to wrap this series up. Quick look at the scoreboard before we go. Let you know the Yankees in Baltimore are going to extra innings. It's a 4-4 tie in the bottom of the 10th inning. Just underway, Kansas City and Oakland, 0-0 in the bottom of the first. They had a rain delay to deal with. Earlier, Texas beat Seattle 1-0. Neftali Feliz, 7 strong innings for the win in his first big league start. White Sox and Indians were rained out. Tigers beat Tampa Bay 5-2. Detroit is 4-0 and hands the Rays their first loss of the season. Back at it tomorrow. We're on at 12:30 Eastern for 12:37 first pitch. Ricky Romero against John Lester. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Dan Riccio, Gord Brunn, I'm Mike Wilner. Good night from Rogers Center.